Hey, we're in this brand new series, Stop Tripping. And if this is your first time here today, my name is Sean Jensen. I am a lead pastor here at All Thanks Church with my beautiful wife, Liz. And we take moments sometimes during worship because sometimes in my heart, I feel like sometimes we come in excited, sometimes we come in hurting. And I want to let you know that our church is a place where you can come in broken or you can come in free. Our church is a place that you can come in through a bad week and have pain in your heart. It says in Scripture that we rejoice with those who rejoice, but we mourn with those who mourn. And so I'm grateful that we can come to a place, broken people and whole people, where we can worship a living God together in our church. And I'm grateful that this is our second experience and you made itself out here today. How are the roads? Did you guys get here safe? Are you glad that you're here this morning? Are you glad that you're here in the presence of our Lord and Savior? Hey, we're going to continue on with our series, Stop Tripping. And we're going to look at the story of Good Friday here in a second. And I'm just going to tie this message up in a bow. And just we've been talking about canceling our guilt trips, that there's a lot of things in our life that guilt us and condemn us, past sins. Sometimes people remind us of our past sins and how we can find freedom. Because here's the truth, that when we live in condemnation, we literally live in a prison and we feel stuck in it. But Jesus says, it says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and condemnation is not freedom. So even though you made a mistake, Jesus wants to know that he took your guilt on the cross. And so we want to live as believers like we are free. I don't want to live anymore walking around looking like I am bound. I want people to look in and say, there is something different about that person. I used to know him 10 years ago, and he is not letting those things attach to him anymore. I want to be a church who leaves this place guilt-free. Why? Because when we live in freedom, we can pull people to freedom too. We can't lead people to where we're not. And so we're preaching freedom today in this place. And so today we're looking at Good Friday. This is the moment where Jesus went to the cross for our sins. He hung on the cross. And I know Easter season, it's a time where we're somber and we remember the price that was paid. But guys, Jesus is alive. It is a celebratory thing. We don't need to mourn anymore. He is alive. He has risen. And so today we're going to celebrate that, even though we look at Good Friday. You see, in this story, we're going to talk about a couple of people, actually. When Jesus died for our sins, there was two criminals that died next to him. Three crosses on the Skull Mountain. That was what it was called, Golgotha. There was a criminal on his left and a criminal on his right, a criminal on his left and a criminal on his right, and he was in the middle. And this is where we're going to take off in verse 39. It says this in verse 39 of Luke 20. So if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. A sign was fastened above him with these words, this is the king of the Jews. Here he is on the cross. I don't know what it is. I haven't memorized it. Thank you. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saying yourself and us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Listen, two criminals. One was scoffing at Jesus, and one said, I know that I have done wrong, but Jesus, will you remember me? And in this moment, even though this criminal led a whole life of thievery, even though this criminal had a whole life of robbing and in sin, in that moment, Jesus says, today, right now, when you die, you will be with me in paradise. And I am grateful that even though I spent 20 years running away from God, it took a blink of an eye for him to get my path right and say, Sean, you may have been living like a criminal, but from this moment on, I will remember you forever. Are you grateful for a God who can take 20 years, 30 years, even to the point of death on the cross? Some people say, do you think they believed it when they prayed that prayer before they died? I think Jesus showed us a perfect picture of someone who got saved on the hospital bed before they died. The criminal said, I choose you, Jesus. He took his last breath, and today you'll be with me in paradise. Such a beautiful picture that we're going to talk about today. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for these next few moments as we talk about the criminals on the cross. Thank you for everyone who is under my voice. Thank you, Father God, Lord, for everyone who made it out today. I love this church so much. I am so blessed by the faith of this house. I'm so blessed by the people here. I'm so blessed by those volunteering. I'm so blessed, Father God, what you're doing here. But, Lord, there's heavy hearts today. I can sense it in my heart. And, Lord, I would lie if I say I don't deal with heavy heart myself. But I know, Father God, you're the lifter of our heads. So would you lift our heads this morning? Would you lift our faith this morning? Would you lift our hopes this morning in the presence of an almighty God? Lift our heads today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today's message is called The Cross of Consequence. The Cross of Consequence. And we just realized in this story that we just read, Good Friday is Friday, the day that Jesus died on the cross for your and I's sins. But there's more going on to this story. There was actually two criminals. One was separated from God. One has now entered into paradise. And what best way to explain this message than by doing it on a frozen tricycle scooter? Come on, somebody. This is as deep as it gets as Authentic Church. You want to go deep? We got it right here. We got Olaf and Anna and Elsa. I almost forgot their names. This is my daughter, Charlie's. Avery's got a two-wheeler, but Charlie, our youngest, has a three-wheeler. And look it, it's Olaf right here on this face guard. So that before she smashes her face and gets knocked out, she sees Olaf going, I think that's the cue. Like, hey, before you get knocked out, at least Olaf is saying hi. But I was thinking about the scooter when I was preparing this message because the other day, my daughter Avery likes to play on Charlie's scooter because she doesn't want to learn how to ride two-wheeler. And they were playing with this actually in the kitchen, which is not a very safe place to play with a scooter because honestly, it just isn't. And you can leave that camera right there. This is actually for all the viewers here. If you want to see me get crazy, you're just going to have to come on Sunday. You're going to miss out on this one because I'm going around the building. So, I don't know if I'm going to squeal this. I'm sorry, Dad, if this squeals. I didn't practice this. But I like to come out here sometimes. Look at, you guys see the scooter? Isn't it sparkly? You like it? Now you see it. I'm not kidding. This is frozen all over. Check this out. Look at that, Keith. You see it? There it is. And, oh, thank you. Colin just saved my life because there was a cord sitting out there. Thank God for our AV team. Let's give it up for our AV team. She was playing in the kitchen. I said, Avery, please stop playing with the scooter in the kitchen. I don't want you riding it in the kitchen. Someone's going to get hurt. They had no shoes on. They had no socks on. They were going in the kitchen where there is sharp corners and islands, and they're going around. And I said, please don't ride this in the kitchen. And I left. And I was at the gym, and I got a phone call from my wife. As it was ringing, I looked down, and I did what every husband does. I said, if it's an emergency, she'll call me back. Don't judge me. And so she called back, and that's usually how I gauge it. So she called me back, not because I didn't want to talk to her. I was in the middle of like working out. It wasn't just like, oh, I always answer if I'm not busy. Come on, guys, give me some break. And so she called back, and I goes, this must be something serious. So I answered, and she said, don't freak out. Of course, when you hear those words, what do? Freak out. I'm like, babe, don't start with that. Don't freak out. What's going on? Well, Avery was riding the scooter. I was like, Avery? And she collided with Charlie, and Charlie's toe hit the front of the wheel, and her toe split open. I was like, does she need stitches? What's going on? She goes, I don't know. It's bleeding pretty badly. Can you just come home and help me for a second? I was like, absolutely. So I came home, and as I got home, I looked at Avery, and she said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I hurt Charlie. I'm like, don't worry about, like, let me go find Charlie. And she's bleeding, and she's crying, and Lizzie's holding her, and her toe was okay, but it was pretty nasty, and we kind of kept an eye on it, kept a bandage, and talked to the doctor and stuff. And sure enough, after that happened, she was everywhere she went, she would just go. Now, I don't know if she was actually faking it or if she really, I'm sure she really hurt, but after those days, I was like, how long did she do it? Like, after like a couple days, like, ice cream, please. But she'd come and she'd just cuddle, and every time she walked, she'd cry. She couldn't wear shoes, and it was cold out. And so she had to, like, wear sandals. Like, who are these parents taking their kids to Walmart with sandals? And, like, she got hit with a scooter. Like, don't judge me. And the reason why I say that is I realized that in the story, like, I told Avery, I said, Avery, please don't do it. And even though scooters are fun and they are a blast, I'm sure she wasn't having a great time with the scooter because I was having a great time just doing it there from the moment ago. But I realized in that moment that disobedience brings consequences. You see, in our series we've been talking about guilt tripping, and I realized that I haven't really talked about consequences. Last week, we talked about how you're free from condemnation. God has taken care of your past, but sometimes people remind you of your past, right? And so we, even though God's forgiven us of us, people remind us of that. But you know what else kind of reminds us of our past? The consequences we still live in from the mistakes we made back there. And so I came home and she had to walk like that for a couple of days. Why? Because of consequences. Avery was disobedient, and because of her disobedience, there was consequences. And I never said she couldn't ride the scooter. I just said not in the house. And it was from a heart of love. It was a heart from protection. It was a heart to make sure they were okay. And our God's the same way. He says, listen, there are times that I don't condemn you, but there's some things in your life that maybe you were disobedient. And now, right today, even though he's forgiven you, you still are in the middle of your consequence of what you did in your past. You look, in this message that I'm preaching to you, there was a criminal on the cross. You can take this, Ryan. Don't write it right now. Maybe after church, okay? There was this guy on the cross, and he was dying on the cross. And that's why I call it the cross of consequence, because he was a criminal. He was a murderer. Well, we don't know if he's a murderer. Some people say he was a murderer. Barabbas, the murderer, got let go, and he was on the cross. He was part of the people rebelling at that time, stealing. He deserved the cross. It was his consequence of sin. And so in this story, we realize that even though he was on the cross of his consequence, Jesus said, today I'll be with you. You'll be with me in paradise. So I want to share this before we continue on. This thought right here, living in the consequences of our past sins doesn't mean we have to live in condemnation for them. Sean, how do I realize I came to Christ, I believe in Jesus, I made a decision to follow Christ, and I know that God has completely forgiven me of my sin, yet I'm still living in the consequence of that sin? How can I live in the consequences of my past sin without condemning myself for what I used to do? I don't know about you, but I wish I knew this sooner, because there's so many times in my life, even though I know God forgave me, there were some things in my life that reminded me that I made a mistake and I was still living in them. Maybe you're here and maybe you were an absent father, and now that your teen or your kid is a teenager, you're trying to rekindle that and you're trying to make that relationship work, and they want nothing to do with you. And even though you got right with God and he cleansed you and he said you're brand new, you still are facing the consequence of a separation. Maybe before you knew Christ, you were having an affair, and because you had an affair, you lost your wife, or maybe you had a couple of them, or maybe you lost your husband because of it. And even though you know God has completely forgiven you of that, which he has, you still have to live with the consequence of what that feels like, a broken marriage, maybe kids who don't enjoy you or don't like you. Maybe it was an addiction. Maybe you got caught having a DUI and you gave it to God. He said, God, I don't want this lifestyle anymore, yet you're still paying off the fines and you still are going to class and you don't have your license and you're riding your bike in cold weather, and your consequences keep reminding you of what you did back there. How can we live in consequences and still not be condemned for what we did? You see, I've realized this because sometimes God doesn't take the consequences away. Maybe you're a single mom and you knew the decision you made hurt, and so right now you're not living the potential you wish you could. Although your children are a blessing, and they are, I want to encourage you that maybe you feel bad because you made some decisions before they were here, and now your consequences, you feel like you can't do what God's called you to do. But I'm here to tell you that even though you're in the middle of your consequence, God hasn't condemned you. And single mom, God can still use you. You still have a purpose on your life. He has not done with you. He can work all things for his good. I'm just trying to say, what if you're still living in your consequence, yet I'm not supposed to be condemned? You see, my team told me that this was the time where we'll get quiet, because now we're confronting our consequences. Some of us are being real right now, but I want God to take my consequences. He can, but what do we do when they stay there? He hasn't condemned us. You may have been in the middle of your consequence, but you're not condemned for them. Your guilt has been paid. He has paid for that sin, but yet you still deal with the aftershock, right? It's the tremors after the earthquake. They feel like the real thing, but they're not the real thing. Number one is this: if you're going through consequences right now, how can I work through this so I don't condemn myself if I'm still living in the consequence of my sin? The first thing is this: consequences can work for you, or they can work against you. Let me say this. Jesus can still take care of consequences. Not just that. If you follow him, he can rapidly take care of what would take a longer time. So I'm not saying that God's not big enough. I am saying, though, that there was a man on the cross who was on the cross from his consequences, and he died on the cross of consequence. What if this consequence follows me for so long? I want you to be free enough to know that even though you're going through your consequences, you don't have to be condemned by it. And one way to do that is when the consequence rears its head, you can realize it can work for you or it can work against you. You see, in this story, the criminal said, listen, we're supposed to be on this cross. We did this. He got to the end of himself, but then he looked and said, Jesus, will you remember me? And he said, of course I will remember you. When I was younger, me and my brother used to play prank calls on people all the time. We thought it was the funniest thing. Prank calls were the thing. I don't know if they still are, but back then, before cell phones, we had a wall that was connected to, or a phone connected to the wall. Who remembers those things, right? There was a cord. Young people, let me just help you out here. There was a phone on the wall, and there was a cord, and you could walk in the kitchen. Now, if you wanted to walk in the kitchen, in the dining room, and the living room, you could buy an extra long cord. Fancy. And walk around so that you could escape the noise. Well, me and my brother decided that we wanted to call the operator and play pranks on the operator. We were younger. Remember this, Shane? That was fun, wasn't it? Don't tell him what happened. I'll tell him. We were pranking the operator. Shane put me up to it, Mom, Dad. And so we were all... He's my older brother, 13 months older. What were they thinking? I know. Okay, here we go. And as I was talking to the operator, we would just lay down like, I mean, we would just throw it down. We would make them feel, they had no self-esteem when we were done with them. They would pick up and we would be like, hey, you stink. Recover from that one, right? Like, can you imagine that? Like, oh, ouch. We pick it up. Hey, is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it. And then, hey, you kicked my dog. You've heard that one? Like, we would do all these things all the time. And so much, me and my brother were doing it back and forth, so it was my turn. So I picked it up, pressed zero, that's the operator, put it on my ear, and the same lady answered, and this is how she answered. Your number is 815-842-0096. You live at 615 West Moulton. Sorry, parents. You live at 615 West Moulton, and the cops are on their way to arrest you right now. I was 8. Or 10. I can't remember. I was short. But I was short. And I ran for my life. I ran. I was like, Shane, close the doors. Close the blinds. Make sure everything's closed. Go hide. The cops are coming. We are in big trouble. I heard it's a felony to call someone and tell them they stink on the phone. Hide for your life. And we hit. I remember Shane's like, you got to make this right, man. You got to make this right. So I picked up the phone, called zero. Please be the same person. Please be the same person. It wasn't the same person. I was like, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm terrified. You don't have to call the cops. Please don't call me and my brother. We were just playing. I promise we were just playing. He goes, okay, I'll make sure they don't come. And they're probably like, oh, my gosh. You better believe I never made a prank phone call from that day forward, ever again. How many people know that sometimes we don't even need to be disciplined by our parents because the consequence of our disobedience already taught us enough? Like, you know those times you come home, you're like, you're already taught yourself, right? Like, how did that feel? How? Look at that goose egg on your head. I remember because of the consequence, I never called again. You see, consequences can work for you or they can work against you. I believe sometimes what we think is God's correction on our life is actually a consequence of our disobedience, but God will use it to teach us. He loves us so much, he goes, I don't even have to come in and really discipline them because their action already disciplined them enough. But what he does in his grace and his mercy is he takes the consequence and he works it for our good. The other day, my daughter got in trouble, like, go in time out. I'm like, you need to go sit in time out. And Liz said, yeah, while you're there, count to 50. And I was like, that's a weird number. She goes, she's learning how to count to 50 at school. Genius, and I wrote it in my notes. What was happening? Yes, Avery was in time out, but a good parent is going to use time out to teach her something from it. She's going to come out of her time out even better. Can I tell you something today? You may have made a mistake, and the consequence of your sin, you're just in time out, but you're going to come out of it stronger. You're going to come out of it better. You may have done that back there, but you're going to learn how to do something different up here. You got to allow your consequences to work for you, not against you. So when you wake up, and you're still riding your bike because of the DUI, remind yourself when you get your license that you're going to put some safety procedures in, that you're going to give some people your keys, that you may not go to the same places you used to go to. Why? Because you have learned from your consequence. You haven't allowed your consequence to condemn you. Don't let your consequence condemn you. Use it to correct you. Don't let it guilt you. Use it to guide you. You still may trip up, but I guess what I'm trying to say, Jesus said, today I remember you in paradise. His grace as a child of God says, I'm not going to condemn you, but I will use it to correct you. And I'm grateful that Romans 8 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He's saying this: you can give me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Your hang-ups and your holy moments. The good things that you did and the things that you're rotten. If you give them to me, I can work all of them for your good. Give me those two affairs and those broken relationships. Give them to me, and I will do what I can to work them into your favor. It may take longer than what I had for you, but I promise you, the good, bad, and ugly. You know what a mosaic is? A mosaic is a bunch of shattered pieces of glass that an artist takes, and he puts them together, and then when light shines through it, it makes a beautiful picture. That's kind of what God does with our lives. He takes the sin, the mistakes, the hurt, and all the broken pieces, and he begins to bring them back together. And when his light shines through it, people are in awe of what he has done. Will your life be a story, even though you made a mistake? He's putting those things back together. Don't let your consequences condemn you. He wants to correct you. They'll work all things. But Sean, what if I'm the person on someone else's consequence? What if it's me living through the consequences of someone else's sin? Some of us are here today, says, Sean, my dad's the one that left, and because of that, I don't know what it means to be a father. What does it look like when you become the consequence to someone else's mistake? There's this man in the Bible named Joseph. Joseph actually saved Israel, God's chosen people, because at that time there was a famine. He had a dream that all his brothers were going to worship him, but worship God through him, and they didn't like that, and they got mad, so they threw Joseph into a pit. And then they sold him to slavery. He got sold to slavery. Then he went to the prison. He went to Potiphar's house. They picked him up because the Lord was on him. While he was at Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife tried getting with that. She likes Hebrew boys and she cannot lie. She tried getting with that. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. I honor my God. You are married. I'm going to honor Potiphar. She lies, said he did it. He gets thrown into prison. He's in prison as he's there. The Pharaoh's two right-hand men actually get thrown in there. He says their dreams for them. He tells them their dreams. 2 years later, when Pharaoh's having bad dreams, they're like, oh, there's this guy in prison named Joseph. He can read your dream. He comes out. Pharaoh says, here's my dream. Joseph says, this is what God says about your dream. He says, I can trust you. I've seen what you did in the prison because he worked hard in the prison. And that kind of tells you something. While you're in your waiting room, turn it into a workroom. You may be in a prison, but you can still use your gifts there. Whatever season of stage of your life, you should work unto God like excellence. Do whatever you can to show God glory. He did that. And then when he told him his dream, he put him in second in command. Everyone in Egypt, booming. This is a metropolis, came to Joseph first. God's chosen man. After all these things, his brothers threw him into the pit. He was in prison because of what his brothers did, but he never allowed it to get to his heart. Can I tell you something? If someone has hurt you, don't let it get to your heart, because God can take the consequence of their sin and he can put you into a place. He can take you from the pit to the palace. If you believe that God can do that, he can take you from the broken in the prison and he can put you in a palace and say, I can use you, even though you were wrongfully taken care of. You see, in that moment, the men came, they saw Joseph. Joseph was wearing makeup, so they didn't notice after all these years that it was still Joseph. His brothers finally came because they were in famine and they were looking for peace from Pharaoh. They didn't know they were talking to their brother because they had makeup at the time and mascara. We should bring that back. I'm just kidding. Anyways, if I came in like a Pharaoh robe, like this, just like the lines. Anyways, sorry, I get way off track sometimes. Welcome to Authentic Church. They came in, and Joseph doesn't tell it to them after a while, but sure enough, Joseph says, it's me, it's Joseph, and they all start crying. They all start crying. He says, I'm sorry. The brothers start crying. I'm sorry, Joseph. We're the one that brought harm on you. We're the one that did this. And Joseph is crying. He said, I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving you. Man, Joseph forgave them for that. What can we forgive? Joseph forgave them. And he said, at this moment, he goes, go get dad and bring him to this land. I know you're going through famine, but we have plenty of food here. I have saved up because God has shown me a dream. We have plenty of food here. And Israel, in that moment, moved into Egypt before the crossing of the Red Sea. God spared Israel through consequences. The brothers who sinned still got to eat the fruit of the land, even though they're the ones that threw Joseph in the prison. Our God is just so good that even in your consequence, he can still bring you to a land that's full of blessing. So I guess I'm here to say that you may be in the middle of your consequence, but when they came to terms to it, he looked at them and said, I know you threw me in the pit, but I forgive you. So my encouragement is this. Genesis 50:21, this is exactly what Joseph said to his brothers. You intend to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He had brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. That was Israel. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. So what if you're on the other side of someone's consequence? Continue to trust God. Continue to give him those things. And I'm telling you, he can do the same in you. I've seen it. So if you are a fatherless child, I don't know how I'm going to do it when I have my own kids. I promise you, if you don't let it get to your heart and you keep running after Jesus, he will show you what a father looks like. He will. Maybe you're in the middle of someone else's consequence. Maybe you lost a love because someone made a mistake on the road. Yes, it's got to be hard to forgive them. I'm not saying it's easy, but if you can, you can continue to let consequence guide you and not guilt you. God can use it for the good. And we know that our God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. Give those things to God. When you wake up, you still in your consequence, give those things to God. Number two, don't let physical bondage prevent you from spiritual freedom. Don't let physical bondage prevent you from spiritual freedom. We need to talk more about this at church because we forget that even though what you see up here, it's so easy, we've trained our eyes to see everything physical because everywhere we go, we see things physical. Everything we see is in our eyes, we hear, we have senses, which are important, that we forget that everything on earth started from something spiritual. God looked down, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, he said, let there be. Everything we see started from a spiritual being. So what does that mean? Spiritual came first. What came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Then what came first? Spiritual. So what does that mean? It means even though the physical looks real to us and it is real, the spiritual realm is way more real than the physical realm. I'm not going to try leaving you here to where you're like, this is too complicated to understand. I'm going to help you understand it very simple. On the cross in this moment, one of the criminals says this in verse 39. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed. So you're the Messiah, are you? Listen to what he says. Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. The criminal looks at him. He's hanging on his cross. He sees Jesus on that cross. And he says, if you're the Messiah, meaning if you're the one who's supposed to save us, then first save yourself. But isn't it funny? Because we do this. Isn't it funny? Did you hear what he said after that? Because there was a moment in that criminal's mind. He's like, he might do this. So he goes, hey, save yourself. And if you do, could you save me too and help a brother out? Did you see that? He said it. He's like, and if you do, save us too. What was he saying? This criminal wasn't asking to be saved from a spiritual thing. He was asking to be saved from a physical thing. See, Jesus in this moment, could you imagine what Jesus going through the pain of the cross, being whipped for us, and then the wrath of God poured out on him? See, the cross was nothing compared to the wrath of his Father. Everything we deserved, God's wrath went on him. He drank the cup of God's wrath so that we didn't have to endure it. And in that moment, this criminal says, save yourself and save us too. I'm not Jesus and I don't want to be. If I was, you would all be in trouble. But I would have been like, what do you think I'm doing? You see, he was focused on the physical cross. Jesus was focused on the spiritual cross. The criminals were on their cross of consequence. Jesus was on the cross of condemnation. He was on something way deeper. You see, this criminal was wanting God to save him from his cross of consequence. The other criminal was asking God to save him from his life of sin. There's a difference. One was focused on the physical, and so what happens is sometimes we get so focused on what's seen, forgetting that what's unseen. Jesus went to the cross. Everyone in that time thought Jesus was going to save them from the government. When they were screaming Hosanna on Palm Sunday, which is today, they thought that Jesus came to save them from the Roman government, a physical thing. They were oppressed. They couldn't stand it. They thought Jesus was going to overturn the government, but he did something better. They didn't realize he was going to die and rise again. You see, they thought it from a physical standpoint. Jesus said, no, I'm going to save you, but not from the government. I'm going to save you from sin and destruction so you can spend paradise with me. The government is the least of your worries. And if we as a church want to see more freedom, there's some surface things that we got to get out of our mouth, and we got to start talking about the glorious grace of Jesus Christ, the spiritual thing that's going to set people free. We got to stop talking about all the physical symptoms and start going after the heart of the matter. Jesus said, what do you think I'm doing? I am saving you. If you believe in me, your guilt will be paid today. Your sins, your mistakes. Don't let what is physical in the present prevent you from spiritual freedom. I guess what I'm trying to say is in this moment, one criminal wanted to be saved from the consequence of his sin, but the other wanted to be saved by the life of his sin. And so is it sometimes on Sunday, right? The times we come to church is when we're going through the consequence of the mistake we made. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't come in those moments. Jesus is still good. You can come to him anytime you want. But what we do is we say, God, save me, please. I made a mistake. And what we're saying is, save me from the physical cross. And Jesus said, I want to save you from your sin. Listen, I know that affair caused these consequences, but I'm going to leave those consequences there to guide you. But just know this, I'm not going to condemn you for it. See, what we do is when we make a mistake, we come to church looking for God to take away the consequences. He said, no, I'm going to do something better than that. I'm going to take away the heart of what those consequences came from. God is more focused on your character than he is your talent. He's more focused on what's inside of me than what's on the outside of me. You see, guys, talent can take you somewhere, but only character can keep you there. You be holy, for I am holy, is what God says. So he'll use consequences to guide us and correct us. It says this in 2 Corinthians. Paul is talking to disciples who are going through persecution. He said, our present troubles, our troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Paul says we need to focus on what's important here. They weren't in the consequence of sin. They were actually in the consequence of obedience. They were preaching the gospel and being flogged for it, murdered for it, beaten for it, thrown in the prison for it. And he encourages the church in Corinth by saying these words, in your troubles are the consequences of your obedience. I want you to remember one thing. Stop looking at the physical troubles and start looking at the kingdom of heaven. Which takes us back to our maiden scripture. One criminal said, save us from this cross. The other one said, we're supposed to be on this cross. But he says, Lord, will you remember me in your kingdom? One was focused on the cross, one was focused on the kingdom. One was focused on consequences, one was focused on the kingdom. When we begin to shift our eyes to what's spiritual, I'm telling you, what's physical will line up with it. It doesn't go the other way around. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when you go home and you see strife in your home, stop trying to figure out what's happening on the outside, start asking God what's happening on the inside, because there's something spiritual that's trying to take your family out. What are we letting in that's causing it? Is there pride in my heart that God wants to knock out? I remember my girls were sick, it felt like, for like 2 or 3 months. And I just remember praying, like, God, they're so sick. What's going on? There was discord in her house. There was stress in her house. It was just unhealthy. And I remember praying, just heal them, heal them, heal them. And he's good, and he heard our prayers. But I remember there was a moment in our life and in our church's life, some of our leaders and our staff and some people and our close friends, we were actually not unified. We were actually kind of divided. I took a whole month off last July to hear from God. I said, God, what is going on? And he showed me there's some things in the dark that I want you to bring out, and I want to unify your team. And boy, has he. A year ago, we were talking about hurts and pains and things that we weren't talking about. This past staff meeting, we were all praying for each other, encouraging each other, telling each other our deepest secrets so we could find freedom from them. Why? Because God said, stop looking at the physical thing. Sean, there's some things happening in the spiritual that I want you to confront. I want you to bring them out to light. And when we did, everything in the physical lined up to it. You want to walk away from that behavior? You want to walk away from those addictions? You need to begin to ask yourself, God, I'm no longer hanging on to guilt and condemnation. I'm no longer hanging on to this pride. I'm no longer hanging on to these things. I'm not going to let these things into my house anymore. I realize that my eyes have been focused on what I can see, but I'm telling you, if you begin to focus on what's unseen, you'll stop fighting the wrong enemy, and you'll start fighting the right one. His name is Satan, and he's trying to take your family out. Stop fighting against your kid. Start fighting against the devil. Stop fighting against your husband. Start fighting against the devil. Stop fighting against the church. Start fighting against the devil. Stop fighting against the government. Start fighting against the devil. He is in a spiritual realm trying. I'm here to tell you all these things happening. You can do as many laws as you want. Yes, we want to see change, but until we start combating the spiritual things, we'll never see it in the physical. But when we come to an agreement and say, our consequences come from something deeper, heal our land. He says, repent, turn from your wicked ways, and I will heal your land. Get it right in the spiritual, and I'll take care of it in the physical. What are some things that God wants to take care of? What are some things that he wants to do in your heart? The prisoner was focused on the kingdom. The other one was focused on the consequences. And I want to encourage you today that you may be in the middle of your consequence, but what does that mean, Sean? What does that mean? It means this. The physical says your consequence is your condemnation. Spiritual, you can literally say there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't let what's in the physical, your DUI, don't let the things you're seeing because of your consequences, don't let them shift what God said inside. Meaning, don't let your situation lie to you. Let what God says about you speak to your situation. I am no longer condemned, even though it looks like I'm in my consequences. This is no longer hung over me. God has set me free from it. Which means that when we want to worship, we don't allow the chains and the prisons and the hurt and the grief and all these things around us, we don't allow them to get in the way of what God wants to do spiritually. Instead, we look at what's unseen. And because we are having a kingdom that is coming from God, we can live, even though in spite of our troubles, we can lift up our hands, we can dance, we can get excited. Why? Because this isn't my final destination. Jesus said that he got rid of my sin once and for all, and it is gone. I may have the consequences of my sin, but he had no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am now in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Believe the spiritual. I know it may be weird talk to some of you today, but even though you're going through a consequence, if you made a decision to follow Christ, he no longer holds it against you. So, Sean, what do I do when I make a mistake? Even to this day, confess it. You know what confession does? It reminds you of God's grace. I'm sorry. We can maybe talk a little bit after. Thank you so much, Vicky. We can talk a little bit after. We love that we have testimonies in our church. Thank you for wanting to share it. We'll talk after and we can maybe share it with it. Thank you. I just want to keep this point going. And so we look at this sin, and even though we have consequences of our sin, I realize that some of you are walking today. You said, Sean, so what do? You confess it, and God's grace will remind you that it's been taken care of. Did you fall today, this morning? Did you do something wrong? Confess it. Why? Because when you confess it, it reminds you that God's grace is good enough for you. God, I messed up. God, I made a struggle. He says, don't focus on the physical, focus on the spiritual. Last thing is this, sin has consequences, but so does love. Sin has consequences, but so does love. I know the worship team's coming up, but I don't want you to miss this point. You see, when we look throughout Scripture, we realize that sin, there is a lot of consequence from our sin. You see, when we look throughout Scripture, we realize that Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden. And because of that, it said death and sin reigned on this earth. So the consequences of one man's sin filtered into this earth. And because of that, we still deal with death. We still deal with sickness. Some people say, Sean, if God's so good, why does the earth still deal with these things? And it wasn't God's fault. He gave us a plan, and he's trying to get us back to that plan. But because of sin, we now face the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. And I know in this life that we still have 100% death rate. It's what we all have to face sometime. We have 100% death rate. But it says in Scripture, oh death, where is your sting? Christ has swallowed it up in victory. Meaning, yes, our sin has consequence. Yes, it has brought some things in our life. Yes, there's some things that are heavy in your life right now that you're facing in this moment. And I heard people say, Sean, it's the consequence of our sin that put Jesus on the cross. I want to go a step further. I think it's the consequence of God's love that put Jesus on the cross. See, love has consequences too. Love makes you do crazy things. Yes, sin brought death and sickness and pain, and it separated us from God. But God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus. Yes, sin was a consequence of Jesus dying on the cross, but I would go a step further and say it was God's love that put Jesus on the cross. That he had to make a decision that he would sacrifice his own son so that even in the middle of our consequences, we wouldn't be condemned in our sin. that even though we still have the scars, and even though we still have the stories, and even though maybe people still see the consequence of what we did back there, he says that will no longer define you. You are defined by Jesus. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." But verse 17, right after it says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The consequences of our sin may be big, but the consequences of God's love is way bigger. Your sin may have been great, but Jesus' love was greater. Your sin may have hurt you, but Jesus' love can heal you. You see, when I look at this story, I'm reminded that there was a prisoner who was hanging on the cross of his consequence. But Jesus looked over, and in that moment, he said, "This is how much I love you. This is how much I love you." And in that moment, that criminal decided to believe in Jesus. "You are the Son of God, and today you will spend with me in paradise." And the other criminal, eternally separated from God. And so here we are in the middle. If you are a child of God, you were that criminal on the cross. Before your last breath, you said, "God, remember me." Jesus no longer condemns you. Your sin has been thrown as far as the east is from the west. And even though you still have an aftershock of your consequences, you can leave this place knowing you're still on your way to paradise. Nothing has taken you out of the hand of God. You're okay. Confess your sin, shake the consequence off, and realize you are not condemned. But if you're here today, and you have never made a decision to believe in Jesus, you're like the other criminal on the cross, because we're all criminals. But Jesus wants to forgive you from your past. And he wants these words to say over you today. "Today, I will remember you in paradise." We're all sinners in desperate need of a Savior. And the only way that we can be saved from our sin is through Jesus Christ. By saying, "Jesus, I believe in you. You died and rose again. Forgive me of my sins. I choose you today." And in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer. And if you've never prayed it, today is the day you'll be seen in paradise. He'll forget your shame and your sin, and you no longer are defined by your sin. You are now defined by Jesus. So with eyes closed, if you want to pray this prayer, we're all going to pray it together. But if you're praying it for the first time, I want you to mean it in your heart. I want you to see Jesus for who he is. I want you to realize that even though you sinned great, his love was greater, that he wants to swallow up your sins right now. He paid them on the cross so you don't have to keep living in them. But I want everyone in here to repeat after me and say, "Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you for canceling my guilt trip. I'm sorry for my past, for my sin, for my shame. I deserve this cross, but you took it for me. So Lord, will you remember me in paradise? I choose you today. Take my sin and my shame. I want to start a new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen."